Hey guys, my name's Jessica White. I'm a junior at Walker Valley High School and I enjoy things like equestrian activities. And today I'm going to be talking about the good son from the story of the prodigal son. Did you know that as many Americans have college diplomas as many Americans that have criminal records? How can two things with entirely different consequences be equal? Hi guys, my name is Jessica White, and I want to look at that question a little bit more today. So like many people in Cleveland, Tennessee, I was raised in a Christian family, and I came to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior at a very young age. I have been so blessed to have such a great church and family around me. But I never thought that my testimony had power, because I've never experienced a super traumatic event, and I've never majorly strayed from my walk with God. But to believe that my testimony was without power is where I was wrong. So today I will be talking about the story of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. But for those of you who don't know it, it goes like this. There was a man who had two sons. The youngest son demanded all of his inheritance immediately. So the father gave him everything, and the youngest son went to spend it all on prodigal living. The word prodigal is characterized by profuse or wasteful expenditure. So this son wasted everything he had on immoral living until eventually his resources ran out and he had to slave away in order to survive. Well, one day he decided that he would return to his father and beg for his father's forgiveness, pleading with him, willing to return as a servant. But when the father saw him coming, he ran towards him and threw his arms around him and wept, immediately forgiving him. Then the father gave him the best robe and ordered that the best fattened calf be killed so that they could throw a celebratory feast in honor of his return. And that's the story of the prodigal son. It's a story about love and forgiveness and amazing grace, even when we don't deserve it. Today, however, I want to look at this story from a little bit of a different perspective, the perspective of the good son. So the good son had stayed even when the prodigal son had left. And in Luke 15, verse 28, the Bible reads that the good son was angry and would not go in when his brother returned. He told his father in verse 29, "These many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." You see, the good son had been faithful to his father all these years. He had served humbly, and no one stopped to notice him. No one even recognized. They didn't even care. So it was only reasonable that he was angry when his brother, the brother who had wasted everything, came home and they celebrated him. And that was me. See, for me, I was always doing everything right. I thought my relationship with God was defined by the things I did not do. So I'm in high school, and I do not party, I did not do drugs, I've never gone out with friends on the weekend to do immoral things. I've always tried my best to give my all to God. And although I was not perfect, I used to think that I was pretty close. But in spite of it all, I never felt fulfilled, because my actions were not sufficient. You see, I thought I could impress God with my actions, but I was really struggling with the concept that God loves everyone equally. You see, I couldn't understand how God loved me the same as he loved the person next to me that was consciously living in their sin and didn't even care. But then one day, I had a revelation. And in one moment, my self-inflicted aggravation and pity was shattered when I realized we are all the prodigal son, from the best of us to the worst of us. From the person that attends church faithfully every Sunday to the person that only comes once a year, we're all the prodigal son. But this concept of equality in sin is a really hard concept to grasp, because as humans, we have such a limited perspective. I mean, how can two things with entirely different consequences be equal? But to understand this concept, we have to think about sin a little bit differently. So imagine that I have two clear plastic cups. In one cup, there's black paint that fills it all the way to the rim, almost overflowing. And in the other cup, the black paint fills it less than halfway full. From our perspective, all we can see is the different amount of paint in the cups. One has significantly more than the other. But from a bird's eye view, or from God's view, when you look over top of the cups, all you can tell is that there's black paint inside of them. You cannot tell how much there is. And that's how God views our sin. And yet we get so enraptured with religion and actions that we entirely miss the miracle of God's mercy. And there was a time in my life when I went through that same aggravated stubbornness like the good son. The good son who served faithfully and humbly, but wanted an earthly reward and expected recognition. I went through that same dry season. I felt like I was doing everything right for God, but I couldn't feel God's presence. So I began to think to myself, okay, if I can't feel God's presence, I'm just going to stop living for him. I'm going to stop doing the mediocre tasks that he has asked me to do. And how often do we all do that? A lot of times people think, well, I love God, so he should bless me more. Or I've been living for God and doing everything right, but I still struggle. Why doesn't God love me enough to take away my pain? But we cannot put conditions around God. And do not mistake his silence for absence. You see, at the end of the chapter, after the good son had questioned the father responded by saying, "Son, you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But it was right that we rejoiced, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Not only does the father reward the good son, but he rejoiced because the prodigal son had been rescued. When the prodigal son returned home, he was wrecked and broken. He had nothing left to offer. When is the last time that you were broken before God? Completely wrecked of your sins and pleading. Because when the prodigal son was pleading with the father for forgiveness, he said, "I am no longer worthy to be called your child." See, contrary to the popular beliefs, we are not worthy. We were never worthy to be called a child of God, but that is his unconditional love. That is his mercy and his amazing grace. And it is time that we break our Christian self-righteous attitudes to see ourselves as we really are, the prodigal son. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, not even one. And it is when we begin to see ourselves as the prodigal son that we realize who we are and we can start to give others the mercy and the grace that God has given us.